are listening to Mile High Report Radio with your hosts, Adam Malnati and Ian St. Clair. Get involved with the Denver Broncos conversation at milehighreport.com. And now, it's time to get to work.
All right, here we are. What do we want to start with? Let's start with Chris Harris. Does that work? You want to start with Chris Harris?
Yeah, what? So to give everyone a basic rundown, he's going to be holding out probably until after the draft, because that's when John Elway said that they were going to rework his contract.
Right. And, it's interesting because can you call it a holdout? It's just off-season workouts. It's not even real football.
I think it is a holdout because it's a negotiation tactic at this point, because he wants to get extended. He wants to be paid as one of the best cornerbacks in the NFL, which he is. And I think what's going to be interesting and what is going to determine all of this is what happens in the draft. Are they going to get a cornerback at number 10? Are they going to get one in the second round? Because that's going to be what determines whether or not Chris Harris Jr. gets extended and gets the contract that everyone in Broncos country wants him to get.
That's an interesting thought, because if you're drafting a guy that high, are you drafting him with the eye towards replacing Chris Harris Jr.? And is Chris Harris Jr. replaceable? I would argue that he probably is not. This to me seems like a bit of a misstep on John Elway's part, just because Chris Harris Jr. has proven time and time again for the last however many seasons he's been with the Broncos. What is it, five now? Six? Seven? I don't know. Numbers are hard for me. But every year, he's one of the best players on the field, and he's gotten better every year, and he's a leader in the locker room. He's a presence on the team that I don't think you want to sacrifice, and so it would be a problem, in my opinion, for John Elway to allow him to hold out, to not give him the extension. And it was funny because I was looking at the conversation in Slack today, surprisingly, and the conversation was, when he signed his contract, he was like one of the top five paid cornerbacks in the NFL. But now, the way his contract is structured, based on the way contracts have gone and the increase in the salary cap and things like that, he's like the 25th highest paid cornerback in the NFL. So his contract was good for when he signed it. It just isn't good now. And that's something that I think the Broncos really need to look at and rectify. They need to fix that.
And I think that that's what everyone is waiting to see what happens, because I don't think there's anyone in Broncos country who would disagree that Chris Harris Jr. needs to get paid and should get paid as one of the best cornerbacks in football, which he is. But as I said, it's all going to be determined, I think, on what happens in the draft and who they pick. Because if they get a cornerback in the first round or even the second round, is there really a spot for Chris Harris Jr. then in the defense?
Well, yes. I think the question is a little strange, because there's still a spot for him. The problem is there a spot for him? Not necessarily in 2019, but is there a spot for him in 2020, 2021? And that's where things start to get tricky. I'm not so sure. When we talk, okay, so when we had Tampa Bay Trey on, right? We had Trevor Sikkema on from the Draft Network. I don't remember cornerbacks really being something that was talked about for the Broncos in the first round or even the second round when we had that discussion. So is that something that's on the radar for the draft? I guess that's my question, because I don't see that as being a need that the Broncos should be addressing in this draft, at least not early on in the draft.
I think you can never have, it's like pass rushers. You can never have enough cornerbacks. So whether or not they address it in the first round or the second round, I think it's definitely something that you're always looking to add. Whether they do it in the first round or the second round, I don't think they should. I think, especially if there's a guy like Ed Oliver there at number 10, you take Ed Oliver. Because I think he's a guy who can take this defense to the next level, especially with the pressure that he's going to be able to create in the middle of that defensive line, which the defense has lacked since Malik Jackson left for Jacksonville. So whether it's something that they address in the first or second round, I think it's always something that you're looking to get depth, because you can't have enough depth at that position, in my opinion. And like I said, with pass rushers, I think that's something that they should be looking to add for depth as well in the draft. So you have Bradley Chubb, Von Miller, Jeffrey Holland. After that, there's still pieces that they need in terms of depth to make sure that you have enough bodies to go in and out for the way Fangio wants his defense to play.
Right. I guess my point, though, in regards to Chris Harris is there is depth at cornerback, right? That Kareem Jackson and Bryce Callahan sort of create that depth. You have Yadam on the roster still, so Isaac Yadam is depth. I'm not sure that that's an area that you should be focused on. And to me, this, like I said, this is a misstep on John Elway's part. You pay him his money and you move on because he's earned it. You know he's going to be a solid player on your team for the next 2 or 3 years minimum. I see it as a problem in the locker room when you start eliminating guys like that. That doesn't make sense to me.
And I think I only bring up the draft just because I think that's the only thing that's going to keep him from being extended. But I think it's still going to happen. I want Chris Harris Jr. to finish his career as a member of the Broncos. I want him to retire a Bronco. He's one of those players who, like Rod Smith, as an undrafted player, you want him to start his career and finish his career in Denver, because he will end up in the Broncos Ring of Fame. That's the type of career that he's had in Denver. And he learned from Champ Bailey. He's going to keep that mindset that Chris Harris Jr. learned from Champ Bailey. He's going to be able to carry that throughout all of the guys who get the chance to work with him. So keep him in the defense. Reward him. Yes, he did have a top five contract when he negotiated that a couple of seasons ago that allowed the Broncos to get Aqib Talib and TJ Ward and DeMarcus Ware. He still got paid. He still got his millions. But reward him. Reward him for all that he's brought to the organization, not just for the hometown discount that he got, but for everything else that he's accomplished over the course of his career. If you're not going to reward a guy like Chris Harris Jr. for being what the Denver Broncos are all about, then you're not going to. So after the draft, the first thing John Elway needs to do is lock up Chris Harris Jr. for a 3 or 4 year deal with 2 years guaranteed, which gives them flexibility since he is 30 years old and he is getting older. And as we saw with Champ Bailey, when it happens to a cornerback, the drop-off happens immediately. I'm not saying that's going to happen to Chris Harris Jr. the next couple of seasons, but it gives them flexibility if you go with a 3 or 4 year deal with 2 years guaranteed.
Right, and I think that's the key, right? Get that money or get that contract situated so that there is an out, but you still are, like you said, rewarding him. I think that's the key here. I think all of Broncos country is in agreement. What Chris Harris Jr. has done for this team and the run that they went on in the 2015 Super Bowl win, the fact that he's been a stalwart on defense for a team that really the last few years has sort of squandered some really talented players in Von Miller and Chris Harris and some other guys, I think you have to sort of take a look at that situation and reward him for what he's done. And you pay that man his money, right? Pay that man his money. That's what you do. You got to pay him and move on. That was my very horrible impression of John Malkovich from Rounders.
You plopped it out there and expected it to perform.
Well done. Well done. Well plopped, as they might say.
Or flopped.
Or flopped. Yes, that's true. So, I think the Chris Harris Jr. thing we're all in agreement on. I haven't seen anybody who has said, no, he doesn't deserve an extension. No, he doesn't deserve to have, you know, to be paid. I think everybody's in agreement on that.
The one thing that I've seen is that people want him to get paid now. Not after the draft, but now. And I think that's where there's been some disagreement or some angst with Elway about waiting.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I get it. I get why Elway is waiting, because his focus is on the draft right now.
Right, and he's gonna run it like a business, and he's gonna, you know, he's got his list of things he wants to accomplish and the things that he's gonna do. I don't see it being a problem to wait until after the draft. I just think that if you're waiting till after the draft to see if you draft a cornerback, I don't care if you draft a cornerback, first round, seventh round, none of that matters to me. You still pay Chris Harris because he's Chris Harris Jr. He's Strap Harris. You pay the man, and that's what you have to do. That being said, though, they are in their off-season workouts. They were able to get in early because of the new coaching staff, and I don't know. I thought Von Miller had some interesting things to say about the team and about Vic Fangio. What was your takeaway from Von's takeaway of what's going on and how he feels about Fangio being the head coach and that kind of stuff? Because I saw a couple of interesting comments on Tim's article that he wrote on it from some of the community in Mile High Report, sort of calling Von Miller a kiss up, say, you know, sort of like, what else is he going to say? Obviously, it's, you know, is this really how he feels? Can anybody really know that kind of stuff? What was your takeaway on that?
My takeaway is that there is buy-in to what Vic Fangio is going to bring to the Broncos. And that's what we've been talking about on the podcast since he was hired. And you saw that with what Mike Kliss tweeted out yesterday. And there were a couple of people who were being skeptical, like, well, let's see what they do on the field first. But the thing with Fangio is he's been consistent in his messaging from his news conference introducing him as the Broncos head coach to yesterday, his first meeting in front of the Broncos. It's about the details. No more death by inches. It's about focusing on what you can control, and that's the meetings. Put in the work now and you will be successful come the season. And that's what the Broncos have lacked for at least the last two seasons. Because the other thing that the players told Kliss from that first meeting is that he's a no-nonsense guy. He's a no-BS guy. And that's, again, what this team has lacked and needed and desperately craved the last two seasons, is someone who is going to have that approach, to hold their feet to the fire and expect them to be better, but show them how to be better. And that's what a good teacher does. And that's what has me so excited about Vic Fangio and this staff right now at this juncture, is that he's going to get the best out of them.
Yeah, I thought...
And whether it leads to wins or not, it's way too early to tell, because they haven't even stepped on the field yet. But when you have that approach and you know that you're going to have a head coach who wants the best out of you, you're going to give a little bit more.
Right. No, I agree. It's funny. Tim just threw something in here on the stream. He says, I never called Von a kiss up. You didn't. Tim did not call him a kiss up. It wasn't Tim. It was some of the guys. It was some of the community members who on the article in the comments section made that comment. So just to clear that up so that there's no confusion there. And I think that something you will find, and this is, I think is true in all walks of life, something you will find is when there's a certain attention to detail, you will see that play out on the field. And I like what you said there about how we really don't know if it'll translate to wins, because they haven't done any football anything. They've just been lifting and running and that kind of thing. But when you've got a guy who, and I love that he's a teacher, and I think that that's just such a great thing for this franchise to have. But when you have a guy who's able to focus on those details, the little things, the understanding that when you do small stuff right, big stuff happens correctly. You know what I'm saying? Like, you do the little stuff. If you do all the little stuff right, the big stuff takes care of itself, because all the little stuff is what the big stuff is built on. That foundation of details, that foundation of focusing on doing things correctly. And I hate to say this, and I'm going to sound like Bill Belichick, and it's, I don't like it, but doing your job, right? You have a job to do. You have this gap assignment. You have, you know, you have to block this guy. You're going to, you know, you have to run this route. You have to hit this yard marker, and you have to go this, you know, those kinds of things, those small, minute attention to detail things. Those are the kinds of things that I think Vic Fangio wants to bring to the Denver Broncos, which is great. But I also think it comes from buy-in. I think teams that buy into the franchise, to the system, right? Teams that buy into what the coach is trying to do, what the franchise is trying to do. Teams that, the players that buy into those things, they have attention to detail because they want to be good, because they want to be great, and because they know that that's important. You lose that lack, you lose that focus when you don't buy into things. And I think we saw that with the Broncos at the end of the season last year. They were 6-6 last year when Chris Harris was injured. And we all know how the season ended. There was a lack of focus. There was no buy-in, right? You had a head coach who was calling out the best player on the defense for offside penalties, which was ridiculous. You had an offense that was sputtering, that didn't really have an identity, that couldn't get things going. And the truth was, they had no identity, so they had nothing to buy into, and so they had a lack of focus, which meant they weren't paying attention to the little things, and they ended up 6-10.
The other thing with the offense is that they didn't work on the strengths of the players. They didn't play to the strength of their quarterback. They didn't play to the strength of the running game. They didn't even focus on the running game.
Which, again, I think goes back to the buy. Now the players know that. If you know that, and I know that, and everybody who's ever watched football knows that, then the players are going to know that, and they're not going to buy into that system. And that's kind of the point that I'm making here, at least from the start. And this is sort of what I like to see, is you have Von Miller, who is clearly the leader on defense. He's the best player on the team. He's the franchise. And he's coming out, and at least he's saying the right things. He's buying in right now. Will that continue as the season goes on? Or will the players not buy in? And if they don't buy in, are they going to pay attention and focus on the little things? Is that attention to detail stuff going to matter? And I think that's something that'll be interesting to see as the season starts up, and then as it goes on. But like you said, as of right now, we can't judge anything because they're not doing anything.
Well, the thing that I think will answer that question is what to habit when you start getting into a routine. What happens? It becomes a habit. So if you buy in now and you see the reward for it, you're going to continue to do it. It's like Pavlov's theory, where
Pavlov's dog.
You do the same thing over and over again, and you get rewarded for it. You're going to continue to do it, and I think that's what's going to happen with the Broncos, and that's why it's so important to get it as soon as they start the off-season workouts, where you see a head coach is going to be there and demand you do your best working out before you even step foot on the field, is, as you said, what reminds people of Bill Belichick. And I had a follower on Twitter today bring up how the way Fangio talks reminds him of Bill Belichick. because it's the same approach. It's the same, do your job.
Yeah, I mean, it's a football cliche for sure. You know, the inches we need and all that good stuff. And I'm sort of fine with it. I like the idea of do your job. And I think there were guys last year that were doing their job and there were guys that weren't. And you have to have everybody pulling in the same direction. And if everybody's pulling in the same direction and you're doing what you're supposed to do and I'm doing what I'm supposed to do and so everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing, things should work out. Now, it's football and every team has, you know, their strengths and weaknesses. And so it's not always going to be perfect. But the idea is they're supposed to be better this year because of Vic Fangio. And I think that'll be an interesting thing to see. But what we're going to do right now, just because we have to, is we are going to take a quick, 30-second break here for the audio side so that, we can get our ad in. And we'll plop that one out there and expect it to perform here for just a minute. All right, that was cool. It was almost like my son was telling me to get started again. I can hear him up there yelling at somebody. So we've talked about Kliss's tweet and sort of that sort of first impressions of Von Miller and the stuff going on with Chris Harris. Is there something that we need to cover with the team that maybe isn't necessarily something that people are really thinking about right now, something we should focus on? We talked a lot about the draft last week. That's what's coming up. Is there any new developments that we should be considering?
I think to continue on that conversation we just had about Vic Fangio is how it's interesting to think about how the Broncos kind of bucked the trend of hiring the young offensive coordinator as their head coach instead of just hiring the young offensive coordinator as an offensive coordinator.
Right.
So that's what's intriguing about all of this, because you get the veteran defensive coordinator who you know is going to be able to develop a game plan to slow down Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. But you also have the young up-and-coming offensive guru, offensive guy in the nature of Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay now as your offensive coordinator, which will allow you to potentially make the playoffs this season. As we were just asked, are the Broncos going to make the playoffs?
Yeah, I think that if they're going to make the playoffs, it's going to be because the defense carries them and then the offense is capable of putting a few points on the board. And sort of sticking with some of those teams like your Kansas Cities who are going to have good offenses. I mean, that's just what has to happen. What should make you feel good, though, is and this is going to sound weird. Just go with me on this. The Patriots won the Super Bowl by using Vic Fangio's by using Vic Fangio's game plan against the Los Angeles Rams. And so if you look at that and you think about what the Patriots were able to do against that really, really good offense, I have a feeling that Vic Fangio will be able to do the same thing against a team like Kansas City. So some of those things will be mitigated because he will be able to game plan that stuff. It's all kind of one of those things where everything kind of has to fall into place. But at the same time, you can see the pieces are at least there, right? You know you have the right pieces. Now it's just seeing if they can actually have them fall into place.
I think what we'll add into all of that, which ties all of this back together with Fangio, but especially Ed Donatell and even Ronaldo Hill, you're going to be able to get the best out of the players the Broncos have had the last couple of years to finally reach their potential. And I think you're going to see that with Will Parks. I think Will Parks at strong safety in this defense is going to, I think he's going to take the next couple of steps in his career, especially if he's going to be able to play to his strengths, which is not something that Joe Woods or Vance Joseph put these players in a position to do the last 2 years. And I think playing next to a guy like Justin Simmons, who will be the free safety, who will be able to do what he does,
yeah,
is going to benefit both of them. And then you add in Kareem Jackson and Bryce Callahan and Chris Harris Jr. I think Will Parks has the potential to have a very good season. And he had a strong season in 2018.
Yeah,
I think he is going to be able to take the next step with Vic Fangio, Ed Donatell, and Ronaldo Hill to help get the Broncos potentially take that next step and get into the playoffs, but at least make the defense that much better.
Right. And I would actually argue that Simmons was really the weak link of those two last year. I think he struggled with some things as far as missed assignments. He looked like he was out of place a lot of time. And I think he needs somebody like a Vic Fangio and an Ed Donatell. I think those are the types of guys who can, like you said, maximize the potential of a guy like Simmons. And Will Parks is a bit of a stud, if you ask me. I don't think you need to look any further than that play against Pittsburgh on the goal line when
that
should have been a touchdown, and everybody here knows it. And instead of it being a touchdown, it's Broncos ball. So it's one of those things where just based on coaches alone, you're going to see some improvement because that's how bad the coaching staff was for the Denver Broncos. How much of an improvement is going to depend on, like I said before, how much buy-in you see from the players, and that's going to take some time. It's going to take some time to gel. It's going to take some time to get into the system and really get things working.
There is one thing that has been much ballyhooed about Broncos country the last couple of days is the new draft hat.
Yeah, I like the word ballyhooed. That's good use of the word ballyhooed. I'm gonna take an unpopular opinion here and say I kind of like the draft hat. I do. I kind of like it. It's got the triangles like mountains, and
it's the Denver logo.
Yeah, that's okay. It's the Denver logo. They're the Denver Broncos. And it's got, I like it. I like the hat. Am I not supposed to like the hat?
It's better than the hat from 2018.
Yes, I would agree with that. It is a marked improvement from 2018. I can't believe we're talking about fashion.
I will say that I think what's more important are the players who wear the hat. So yeah. I don't care what the hat is. If they get a guy like Ed Oliver and he's the one who puts the hat on.
Right. Well, does anybody remember what Bradley Chubb looked like in the hat last year? No, we just remember that Bradley Chubb was a bit of a stud in 2018 and looks like he's going to be even better in 2019. So, yeah, Ed Oliver, I'd be okay with Ed Oliver and that cool hat. Yeah, I'm cool with that.
I think, to me, that's... I know we talked about Devin White, but I don't think he's going to get past Tampa Bay. I don't think he's going to get past the Bucs at five. I would love to see Ed Oliver in this defense in between Bradley Chubb and Von Miller.
Yeah.
Because as I said in Joe Rolls' roundtable, when you get an interior pass rush, it helps everything on the defense. It helps the pass rush because you get interior, because when you get that, then it forces a guy to step outside right into the grips of Bradley Chubb or Von Miller. It helps the run game. It helps the secondary because the guys don't have to cover as long, whether they're linebackers, safeties, or cornerbacks. So the thought of Ed Oliver in this defense is my dream scenario in this draft.
Right. And you know, it's interesting because I actually think that what you're talking about on defense is exactly what the Broncos need to do, because if you can get that push up the middle, that's how you're going to impact a guy like Patrick Mahomes, who, yes, he's mobile. He's a mobile quarterback who can throw on the run, and he proved last year that his athleticism will carry the day in a lot of situations. But if you can get that push up the middle and the edge rushers can get home, disrupting him is going to be a way that's going to help the Broncos finally beat the Chiefs, who they have not beat since 2015. So I like your idea there. I'm fine with that. I think that's great. If either one of the linebackers, Devin Bush or Devin White, your choice, were there, I'd be okay with that as well. I think an inside linebacker is something that is needed in a Vic Fangio defense. And so if they can find somebody who fits what Vic Fangio wants to do, I think that also helps the defense as well. I don't see them taking anybody offensively. Like, there's been talk about grabbing a tight end because there's some good tight ends out there. But I don't see it. I don't think it's that much of a need. I think it's a need because I don't think the Broncos have any good tight ends, but that's just my take. I don't think that they're going to take a tight end in the first round.
And I think what will be interesting, because obviously people are going to think quarterback. I think it depends on who's there. I think, as we've said for months, the last couple of months on the podcast, the thing that free agency allowed them to do is not be pigeonholed into what they're doing. So it now allows them to draft the best player available on their board. So whether that's, if it is Drew Lock, if Drew Lock is there, if it's Ed Oliver, if it's one of the Devons, if it's Quinnen Williams,
one of the Devons sounds like a cool band.
If you didn't listen to the podcast with Trevor Sikkema, the reason I would love to see Quinnen Williams fall to the Broncos at number 10 is because of what Trevor Sikkema would then do with his computer. He said he would throw it out of his window.
I wonder how high up is his window? If it's first story, maybe there's some bushes, it catches the computer, everything's fine, right? That's maybe one of those things that we should have asked. We should have figured that out. Yeah, we're reading the chat. I don't know if you can tell, but we are definitely answering the questions. I appreciate the shout outs. We're reading them. We're getting to the questions. I appreciate that. I feel like Quinnen Williams, that's not going to happen, right? Isn't that that's pretty much what we have to say here? Is that that's probably not going to happen?
I think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going Devin White.
Okay. I think that'd be great. Because then, you know, the Broncos. Here's the thing. In this draft, there is a lot of talent. Okay, there's a lot of talent that can be had with the number 10 pick. I also think, and this is something that I've been saying for a while now, I think it's a good idea if they even trade out of the first round, right? Start focusing on the 2020 draft, even the 2021 draft. Start building capital. You know, start building that draft capital for the quarterback of the future. Because my opinion on it is there is no quarterback of the future in this draft, and that's really what the Broncos need at this point. They need a quarterback of the future.
Well, your quarterback of the future is Trevor Lawrence.
He is. I don't know. You'll get no argument from me on that. Trevor Lawrence is the quarterback of the future for me and all of Broncos country and everybody who watches the NFL. I don't think there's a single person out there who doesn't think to themselves, man, it sure would be nice to have Trevor Lawrence on my football team in the future. If you don't want him on your team, you're not paying attention to football. That's just the way it is.
And I think my retort to yours about getting assets for the future is I think it all depends on who's there at number 10. If a guy like Ed Oliver is there at number 10, hell no, you don't trade back.
Right. No, I agree. I think that that's one of the things you have to go into this draft open-minded. I think that that's one of the biggest things that has to happen for the Broncos is you go in with your list of guys, right? The guys that you absolutely want. But you also have to be flexible and understand if they're not there, be willing to trade out. Or if somebody offers you a ransom for somebody, let's say that Washington really likes Drew Lock and they're willing to trade up to get him because he's still there at 10, and they're willing to offer you a couple of future first round picks, I think you have to consider that. That's really the biggest thing you can do is be open-minded in this draft. Best player available on the board is always the best way to go, in my opinion. And don't pigeonhole yourself, which, as you said, Joe Flacco allows them to not be pigeonholed into taking a quarterback in this draft.
So what are we looking forward to now? I mean, what will make this a successful draft now that we're a couple of weeks out from it?
You know what? It's almost one of those things where I don't think you can even judge a draft. But everybody wants to say, well, what makes it a successful draft? Don't you have to wait until the players hit the field? Did anybody leave the 2018 draft thinking that John Elway had really hit it out of the park the way that he did? I don't think so. I think there were people who were happy with Bradley Chubb. But did you know that Cortland Sutton was going to be that good? Did you know that Philip Lindsay was going to sign with the Broncos and be that good? Did you? I mean, that's the thing, is you can't really judge a draft until they actually get on the field and play. On the other side of that, I think if they're able to get into a situation where they do what's best for the team as far as filling a need or building capital, those are the two things that I think make this a successful draft. And not just in round one, right? You can't just focus on round one. There are more rounds to a draft in the NFL. There's round two and round three and round four. And then there's also round five, there's a round six, and then there's a round seven. And so you have to remember that. It's not just about what they do in round one. And so if they are willing to take the take best player available at 10, great. If they want to trade out, great. If they think Drew Lock's the guy, great. What makes it successful is if they have conviction in what they do, and that's it. And yes, Hart, we know how much you loved the draft in 2018.
I think what will make this a successful draft is if it's not 2017.
No, I have no opinions on Tyree Jackson. Just throwing that out there.
Yeah, I don't either. I think I'm more with John Ledger, as Trevor Sikkema said on our last podcast. If you're not going to get a quarterback in the first round, don't draft one. And it's not just because of how Broncos fans obsess over the late round quarterbacks.
Oh, I can't. It gives me the chills. No, thank you.
If you're going to get a quarterback, go all in on that quarterback.
That's really all you can do. And I think that's the best way to go.
And I think with quarterback at this point, I think they need to see what Joe Flacco has for 2018, which is why I don't think they'll go quarterback in this draft. So let's see what Joe Flacco does in this offense with Rich Scangarello, with Philip Lindsay, Royce Freeman, Cortland Sutton, Deshaun Hamilton, Tim Patrick. If they get another receiver in the draft, let's see what happens. And I think it's there for them to be able to do whatever they want to do. If Flacco plays well, then there you go. If he doesn't after this year, there's no dead money on the cap. They move on, potentially draft a quarterback in 2020. Or your dream, wait till 2021.
I almost don't even like to talk about it, because if you talk about it, maybe it won't come true. And if we don't talk about it, maybe it will come true. I don't know. You know, that's actually an interesting question. I'm going to answer this one. The question's about quarterback depth. Yes, we have Flacco, we have Hogan, and we have what's his name, Grayson something or other. Is it Grayson? Garrett Grayson, thank you. The depth isn't great, but I don't think that John Elway is going to go into training camp without signing another veteran quarterback that will be the backup quarterback. I think it's pretty obvious that if they don't draft a quarterback, they'll sign a veteran quarterback and it won't be an issue. So it's really not that big a deal. Like, looking at the depth chart now, that's the other thing. You look at the depth chart now for a position like quarterback, it almost doesn't even matter, because it's clearly not it's just not something that's worth looking at, because you know things are going to change. So I'm not worried about their depth chart right now when it comes to quarterback.
I think in terms of Flacco's health, I think at this point when he says that it's the healthiest that he's been, I think we have to take him at his word. And then that's where you hope the offensive line is able to take the tutelage from Mike Munchak and get better. Because if Mike Munchak is able to do with the offensive line that we all hope, and I think that offensive line is going to be a need in this draft that they're going to have to address. And my hope with a guy like Dalton Risner in the second round from Kansas State, I think that would be a very nice addition for this team. So I think in terms of Flacco's health, I think it's all tied together. It's all tied to the offense. I think it's with Scangarello and what he wants to do. Because if you look at Flacco, the most successful season he's had the last 5 years was in an offense similar to the one he's going to be running with Scangarello when Gary Kubiak was his offensive coordinator in 2014. So let's...
It's wait and see. Yeah.
I mean, let's see what they look like on the field. Let's see what he's able to do with these weapons with Philip Lindsay and Royce Freeman, and then see what they do in the draft to add in some pieces that they may not have right now.
Yeah, I honestly think at this point that's really where we're at. Right? Broncos country is sort of stuck, and we all want things to happen quickly. We all want to be able to say, well, this is what's going to happen, but the truth is we're kind of stuck just watching, which I know sounds crazy, but we are. We're kind of stuck just watching and waiting.
You've been listening to Mile High Report Radio. Get involved in the discussion at milehighreport.com. And as always, go Broncos.